Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome to part 6 in our study on the 3 P's of our profession. Do you know what are the 3 P's of our profession? If you are a Christian, that means you're a part of God's business here on earth. And God is actually working here on earth, running a company, running a business, whose purpose is to save the world. That's right, it's a grand purpose to save the world. And if you are a Christian, if you've been hired by God, if you are one of the employees, then you must know what you're supposed to do. And you have 3 primary responsibilities. Those are the 3 P's of our profession. Do you know what the 3 P's of our profession are? Well, the first one is preaching. It's preaching the gospel. And as I mentioned on our last program, there are 7 different terms that are associated with preaching the gospel. This word gospel is associated with God. It says the gospel of God, and that one we covered in our last program. And now today we're going to cover the second phrase that's associated with the word gospel, and this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. In our last program, I mentioned that the gospel of God is God's gospel. God the Father owns this gospel. He's the one that came up with this good news, and that's what gospel means, is good news. God came up with this message, this news blast that He's sending out throughout all the earth. And this good news is what God has done, is doing, and will do through Jesus Christ. And what He has done through Jesus Christ is provide a sacrifice for our sins. What He is doing through Jesus Christ is living in us to create in us a heart of love, where we love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and we love our neighbors as ourselves. These are the 2 great commandments that are summed up by the 10 commandments in the letter and spirit of the law. And they are written on the 2 tables of our heart and mind. In the old covenant, it was written on 2 tables of stone. Under the new covenant, that same law is written in our heart and in our mind. It's now a part of us internally so that we can live that way eternally. And that is the 3rd thing. That's what God will do through Jesus Christ, is give us eternal life so that we can live this way of love eternally. All right, so this is the gospel of God, the good news of God, of what He has done, is doing, and will do through Jesus Christ. So now today we're going to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why is it called the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, the answer is because this is also Jesus's gospel. Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the one who has been anointed to save the world. This is His message also. This is what His mission statement is to save the world. And saving the world means to save it from death as a result of its sin and sinful nature, and to give it a heart that will be a heart of love, where it's not going to be sinning, where that heart and that mind is going to set to be doing the right things for the right reason, loving God with all of our hearts and our minds, and loving our neighbors as ourselves. And then what Christ will do is He will bring us with Him after we have been resurrected, and we will rule on this earth as kings and priests with Christ, helping to bring salvation to the world, helping to save the world. And so that is great, the fact that this is also the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the good news is that they're giving us, as their employees, as their co-workers, an opportunity to preach this same gospel. But let's look how this phrase is used, the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is in Mark, the 1st chapter. This is in the book of Mark, the 1st chapter. And let's read verses 1 through 11. This is Mark, the 1st chapter, and verses 1 through 11. It says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is the authority. You know, this is who owns this, is Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. This is the gospel. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, which of course was John the Baptist. I send my messenger before your face, who shall prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, and he was crying, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And then it goes on to say, John came in fulfillment of this prophecy, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And this baptism simply means that you are immersed into something. And what you are immersed into is a new way of thinking. Now your mind is joined with God's mind, or I should say more properly, God's mind begins to be joined with your mind, where now you are determined no longer to sin, because repentance means to turn around, to turn away from something and to turn towards something else. So you are turning away from the way of sin and turning toward the way of righteousness, the way of loving God with all of your heart, mind, and soul, and loving your neighbors as yourself. So John came proclaiming the baptism, or the joining in of God's mind with your mind in union to repent of sins so that your sins can be forgiven. Because we do have to repent and ask for that forgiveness of sins, and then God will be faithful to forgive us if we ask in faith with the determination to turn now toward living a righteous life through the power of God. And continuing on in the scripture, it says, and all the land of Judea and those of Jerusalem went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather girdle about his loin, and he ate locusts and wild honey, and he proclaimed, saying, this is also part of this gospel, there is one coming after me who is mightier than I, the thong of whose sandals, which simply means the like the string that you use on sneakers or shoes today, well, the thong whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down to loosen. I indeed have baptized you in water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In other words, your mind will be joined with the Holy Spirit. There's a spirit in man that allows mankind to communicate with each other, just like there's a spirit in alligators. One alligator can communicate with another alligator. There's a spirit in a mockingbird, where one mockingbird can communicate with another mockingbird. And then there's a spirit in man that's uniquely of mankind. And this spirit, since we are created after God's image and in God's likeness, that means we are like God. And how are we like God? We can communicate with God. We can't communicate with a monkey. We can't communicate with an alligator. We can't communicate with a mockingbird and them really understand us, or us understand them. But we can communicate with God and understand God, and God can communicate with us and definitely understands us. So here it says, Jesus will baptize you or immerse you into, join you with the Holy Spirit. He will make you one with himself, where now you can communicate on a much higher level. And going on in scripture, and it happened in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan, and immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him, and there came a voice from heaven saying, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So this is the gospel of Christ, that we not only should have repentance so that we can have remission of our sins, but also we should be filled with the Holy Spirit so that our human spirit can communicate with the Holy Spirit. We can become one. You know how it says that two shall become one, speaking of Adam and Eve, two human beings becoming one because their spirits are joined together. Well, that is a type of how God the Father and Jesus the Christ want to become one with us through the Holy Spirit, their Holy Spirit, joining with our human spirit to make us one. All right, that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news about Jesus Christ, repentance of sins so that we can have remission of sins through Jesus Christ, because he died for our sins so that we don't have to die for our own sins, and so that we can receive the Holy Spirit to make us a new creation, to give us a new mind and a new heart. That is very, very good news. And now let's drop down to Romans, the first chapter. This is Romans, the first chapter, and we'll read verses 16 through 32. Romans, the first chapter, verses 16 through 32. And here Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes." See, God is saving the world, and this gospel of Christ, which is Christ's gospel, Christ's good news, it's the power of God unto salvation. What does that mean? It means if you believe the gospel, then you will be saved. You will be saved from death, and you will be given eternal life. That's what salvation is. Also, it means that you will be saved from your carnal human nature and given God's divine nature, because God is living in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. All we have to do is repent of our sins, be baptized, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, all by faith, and then continue to be overcomers, and God will give us eternal life so that we can live the way of love forever. And this is this gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. First, this gospel was preached to the Jews, but then also it was preached to the Greeks. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, "The just," those who are justified, "shall live by faith." And justification simply means that we are made one with God, and we live by faith, because we have faith that God will live in us. And that's how we live. That is our life, is God living in us. It says of Jesus Christ that he is the bread of life, that he is life, that life eternal is in him, that he came to give life and give it more abundantly. And so if we accept Christ living in us, it's a miracle. It's not something you see, but it's something that you'll notice, because you are transformed, and the fruit of your transformation will be seen. There's a scripture that says, "By their fruit you shall know them." People will be able to know that you are a disciple of Christ because you have love one for another. Love such that you are willing to give up your life for your fellow man. You are willing to give up your life for Jesus the Christ, because what else is there except to live in Christ so that we can live forever? I mean, that is good news, that we can live forever. And this is the gospel of Christ. Well, we didn't get through all of Romans, the first chapter, verses 16 through 32, but perhaps we'll be able to pick that up in a future program. I do thank you for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.